This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It shouldn't be easy. This should be hard. You know, the spring should be hard. Training camp should be hard. Anything worth doing is hard. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. In particular, year one, we should not be comfortable as we're coming into the springtime. We're going to load these guys up. We're going to see what they can handle. We're going to fail, and that's okay. That's part of how you learn and how you grow and you get better. And so we're going to encourage that as a coaching staff. So nothing about this is about making it easier. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9. Here's your host, Mark Grody.
Unfortunately, we've heard similar things out of Bears head coach Ben Johnson's predecessors in the past, that it's going to be hard and you're going to fail and all that. Just don't fail on the same play two times in a row. Right, Matt Nagy? Right, Matt Eberflus? Right, John Fox? Can I stop now? Ben Johnson just says it better with more command and intelligence and better words and more flow.
It's all a problem.
It's all a problem. That's right. Dick Geron. Do I need to go back to Dick Geron? Not going to do it. Welcome back into the program. I am Mark Rohde, here with you until 9 o'clock, and it is always good to talk to my guy Aaron Lemming. And guests join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Aaron writes about the Bears for Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron. The best part about him is that he is a dog rescuer and an animal lover. I'm not a dog rescuer. I would love to be because I love dogs, but I am an animal lover just like you, Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I really appreciate that. It was quite the roller coaster there. You start off with Ben Johnson and, you know, getting Bears fans excited, and then you bring up John Fox, and then it just goes downhill, and then you bring it right back up. So I respect it. That was good.
Yeah, you think I'm jaded? I mean, just a little bit. I mean, I've seen this.
I mean, how can you not if you cover the team? I mean, it's just really, it's one of those, even if you're feeling positive about the team, it's just always in the back of your mind of, okay, how is this going to go wrong this time? I get it.
Yeah, and I know how great it is when the Bears are good, you know, for better or for worse. I was definitely alive during the Bears run in the 80s of sustained success, and a lot of us saw what the Bears did when they went to the Super Bowl in the year 2006, but none of it's been sustainable. I mean, obviously the 80s you had sustained success, but really the bunch of one-offs in terms of what the Bears did. Maybe a little bit when Jay Cutler was here, but maybe I start right there with you, Aaron. Not Jay Cutler, but since I haven't talked to you, man, and I don't know if a lot of people have heard from you here on the Score recently, I mean, giving the Bears a ton of credit. I'll go from being jaded to being happy for what the Bears did in the offseason with, and we'll get to the draft, but just with the interior offensive lineman they signed, and damn it, they got Ben Johnson.
It's one of those things where I feel like every step of the offseason, it seems like there's the most obvious choice and the best path forward. And there's a way to talk yourself out of that, right? There's a way to say, well, this is the Bears. They're not going to do it. It started with Ben Johnson, all the, you know, the Vegas rumors, all that stuff. They land Ben Johnson. You know, Trey Smith gets franchise tagged after he's not expected to get a franchise tag. And you're thinking, okay, what are they going to do? All of a sudden, you know, Joe Tooney's on the roster. It's, I would say, again, on paper, and the Bears have been the champions of the offseason lately, but on paper, they've done a really good job. And like you pointed out, I think the biggest thing is now they've, well, we can hope, right? I mean, he's unproven, but they've got the coach that they wanted. And I think more importantly, they're building the team the right way through the trenches, right? And I think that's something that through the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 off seasons, you can go back and you can look, even last off season with Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams, and you start looking down the line and you're like, okay, cool. They got a bunch of playmakers. They had a flashy off season. But when Ryan Bates is the best offensive lineman that you acquire in that offseason, or when Lucas Patrick is the best, you know, offensive lineman that you get that year, it becomes an issue. So all of a sudden, I think you're seeing proven talent in the trenches, the team being built the right way, the right mentality moving into this thing. Now they just have to go prove it on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's crazy to think that last year there was a, you know, quote, until the injury, that there was a quote-unquote competition between Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton for the center spot, right? Coming off the, quite frankly, I'm sorry, the Lucas Patrick disaster is what that turned out to be, considering what they thought he was going to be for the Bears, and that's certainly been a bugaboo. So getting Drew Dahlman here and, Joe, as you mentioned, Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson as your interior, and who knows how it breaks down at the tackle positions. Are we looking at, is Braxton Jones going to be good to go at left tackle? Is Darnell Wright going to move over there? And you're the one that got us all alerted today, man. Your text got sent around today, listening to 1000 today when Ryan Poles was on and talking about Ozzie Trapillo and the possibility that they give him a look at left tackle. That, and they didn't commit to anything. You know, a lot of things can happen, basically just kind of summarizing what Poles has said, but it sounds like they'd like to give it a shot with him at left tackle. What do you think about that, and how do you think it might shake down with the tackles in an ideal scenario?
Well, again, kind of going back to what we're talking about earlier, where it's like there's, again, this is all opinion. Obviously I'm not the general manager of an NFL team for a reason, but you know, at least when I'm looking at this, there's a logical way of going about things, and then there's an illogical way. And I feel like the illogical way would be to say, hey, we know that Darnell Wright kind of struggled at left tackle when he was with Tennessee, and we know he's been playing right tackle for us the last 2 years, but let's go ahead and switch him over to left side because we drafted a guy that's played both sides, but we feel more comfortable with him on the right side. To me, that would be the more unconventional way of looking at things. You know, Ryan Poles coming out today and saying, hey, we want to see what Ozzie Trapillo has in store at the left tackle position, I think it's important, because here's the thing. We all know that Braxton Jones at best is going to be back around training camp. And I don't know, obviously you've been there, so it's probably a different vibe hearing Ryan Poles talk versus just seeing it over a stream or listening to it. But it doesn't sound overly confident like he's, you know, 100% going to be ready for the start of training camp. He could be a pup candidate at this point. So you've got some time, especially with the OTAs and the mini camp coming up here in the next few weeks for that 3-week stretch that they have before going into training camp, where you have the opportunity to say, okay, let's see what we have in Trapillo at left tackle. Let's see how much progress Karan Amagaji's made at left tackle, and then kind of go from there. Because here's the thing, if neither one of those guys work out at left tackle, you've got a guy in Braxton Jones who you already know can play left tackle at an above average level. I think, at least, again, and this is just how I've kind of seen things play out and kind of looking at the cap situation for next year, I think that they would prefer to not have to pay Braxton Jones $20 to $22, maybe $25 million a year. We just saw what Dan Moore got. Dan Moore's not nearly the player that Braxton Jones is. So if you look at that and see what he got on the open market, I think the Bears would prefer to have either Amagaji or Trapillo step in, be the left tackle of the next 3 or 4 years, and be able to move forward from there. But again, obviously a lot of that's going to be on them. And I think that the best thing about this is that they're both going to have an opportunity because Braxton Jones is still rehabbing from that injury.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the big wild card. And you're right. We probably are trending towards a physically unable to perform, the old pup list probably for him once we start getting things going here for real. And then they've got, you know, Luke Newman, who I like the idea that they have the guard out of Michigan State, that they have some backup for the interior. So I think that was fair by the Bears to go that direction as well. We played earlier, Aaron Lemming, the audio from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland in regards to Ken Carmen specifically, to Nick Chubb. And the Bears, obviously, I think, are really, if they really want to do Ben Johnson things, they probably need an upgrade at the running back position. And the quote from The Fan, the Browns want to bring Nick Chubb back. They are trying hard to bring Nick back. I know this, the Bears are very serious about bringing him in and are trying to make the push. He's been banged up the last couple of years. Would you like the Bears to go after Nick Chubb?
I'm really conflicted on that. So my girlfriend's a giant Browns fan. So we usually have two TVs going at all times during football season. I watched a lot of the Browns. I mean, Nick Chubb did not look like the same player at all last year. And obviously that was 1 year removed from the gruesome knee injury that he had. But he also broke his foot last year, too. So it's one of those things. And I don't – did you get a chance to listen to polls on ESPN 1000?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So what did you take – because it's been kind of one of those things. Everybody's kind of been taking it differently. When I heard him talk about the running back position and kind of getting into OTAs and minicamp and letting the coaching staff figure out what's going to work, to me, it sounded like they wanted to wait until probably June to be able to make a running back move. Did you get the same vibe?
Yeah, but I thought Brian Poles was being pretty careful with his words at that point and not wanting to diminish the player in any way, shape, or form just because there's no reason to do that at this point. Like, I think his immediate reaction when asked about the, you know, DeAndre Swift, we love DeAndre Swift. Ben Johnson loves DeAndre, and I'm paraphrasing, loves DeAndre Swift. I feel like he was in say the right thing mode. But I think what you're saying, too, is logical. It's not going to happen overnight, and I'm with you on the red flags. And there's another red flag, too. He's about to turn 30. So, you know, things happen quickly for running backs in this league in terms of diminishing and the skills and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair. I mean, when you're looking at least for me, when I'm looking at the free agent list, there's not a lot of great names. And I know that the Chargers, I almost said the Ravens, because that's who it used to be with the Chargers, put that weird tag or tender or whatever it was on J.K. Dobbins that would technically affect the Bears' comp pick formula. Right now, they're in line to get a 7th-round pick. I mean, you're literally talking the last like 5 or 6 picks of the entire draft. I don't know that that's really going to mean much to them. But he would probably make the most sense because at least he's coming off of 2 years removed from the injury. He averaged over 4 yards per carry. I don't know. It's a tough situation because I think we all went into the draft thinking, you know, by the end of day two, they're going to have one of these running backs. And obviously, kind of like Ryan Poles has talked about, sometimes things just don't go your way. Last year, it went their way with Roma Dunze. This year, it doesn't go their way with Ashton Jeanty and then, you know, Trevion Henderson and whoever else. But there's not a lot of good free agent options, right? And I'm kind of looking at this from a perspective of, okay, how much is Nick Chubb realistically going to give you? I think on a high end, yes, you're still going to get a pretty solid player. Like you said, he's about to turn 30. He's had 2 knee construction surgeries throughout his career, and he had the broken foot last year. Why not wait this out a little bit? Why not get in the training camp, really see what you have, and then maybe a guy like Kenneth Walker, maybe a guy like Breece Hall. I mean, you're talking about, especially with Breece Hall, you're talking a brand new coaching staff in the last year of his contract. That may be somebody that you can get for a 5th or 6th round pick. So that may be the better route when all said and done versus tying yourself to a free agent where you know that floor is already going to be relatively low.
Yeah, and I also think there's the part where, and I have to remind myself of this, that you can't have gold at every position. And Ben Johnson is being paid like one of the best coaches in the NFL. He was one of the most sought-after coaches in the NFL, and there's a reason, because it seems like he's good at what he does. I know that the play calling seems to be his major and his forte, but to some degree, I think Ben Johnson is responsible for making the players better that are on the roster because of who he is and what they're paying him.
I mean, just look at David Montgomery. I mean, and again, that's no knock to Montgomery when he was with Chicago.
Yeah.
He's been a completely different player since he's been with Detroit. Look at Jamal Williams. He goes to Detroit, has that one stretch where he had, what was it, like 16 or 17 touchdowns, goes to New Orleans the next year once they signed David Montgomery, and hasn't really done a thing since. Yeah, I think there's absolutely credibility to that. I think there's credibility to the entire coaching staff being able to raise the talent level of players that we've seen. I mean, we saw the same thing with Nagy back in 2018, where you had guys like Adrian Amos, you had guys like Bryce Callahan on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there were certain players that rose above what they had done before with a better coaching staff. And I think that that's kind of what you're looking for, because I don't know how you feel. Obviously, it was a bad season last year, but I think from a talent perspective, and especially what they've added, that wasn't a 5-12 team. They should have been better with better coaching. They probably were. They probably don't fall apart. Maybe they don't make the playoffs. But I think that's kind of going back to what you were saying, where, you know, you're not going to hit gold at every position. And at the same time, too, you're also looking at a roster that has won, you know, a collective, what, I'd have to total this up in my head, what, 15 games over the last 3 years? Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those situations where if you're better in the trenches and you're better at certain positions and you're relying on your coaching staff, especially one of the best offensive minds of football, to be a good head coach, then, you know, maybe he can scheme around that. Maybe you can have a Jamal Williams type season from a Roschon Johnson or whatever the case may be. And maybe that's just what you have to do in year one. I mean, the Lions offense wasn't built over 1 year either.
Talking to Aaron Lemming of the Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron. I'm Mark Grody on The Score. We are certainly talking about the Bears. All right, man, I want to know, what was your reaction when the Bears drafted Colston Loveland in round one, pick number 10 overall?
I thought you were going to ask me about Ruben Hippolyte there for a second.
I'd love to talk about the speedy Ruben Hippolyte as well. We can get there, but first, Colston Loveland.
So I didn't love any of their options at 10. I don't know how you felt. It kind of felt like it was trending that way going in, right? They were kind of in that no man's land spot. But I had felt for a while, and granted, and this is full disclosure, I was way worse about doing draft prep this year than I have in the last few years. Just terrible about it. So I got kind of a late start. But one of the things that I felt kind of going into this was Colston Loveland was, one, in my opinion, tight end number one, and two, a considerably better fit for the offense. So I think in terms of what they had on the board, is it the greatest value to go tight end at 10? Probably not. But at the same time, with his skill set, what he's able to do, the fact that he's 2 years younger than Tyler Warren, a better athlete, a comparable blocker, I don't know that that will continue to trend that way. We'll have to see what happens. I think that that pick made all the sense in the world. And frankly, if we're being honest, I'm glad that they did that over having Kelvin Banks fall to them at 10 and them forcing a pick there, because I wasn't a big Kelvin Banks fan.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that they probably had their board lined up for Banks, Colston Loveland, and Tyler Warren. Obviously, we know, I don't know what order specifically. We know, obviously, Loveland was ahead of Warren, but I do think that Kelvin Banks was in their sights. I don't know if they would have taken him, but I think it would have, for the Bears' sake, it probably would have been pretty tempting. Do you want to talk about Ruben Hippolyte? Do you want to talk a little bit about Ruben Hippolyte and his speed?
I mean, the Bears owned the largest consensus board reach of the entire draft. I mean, let's just put it this way again, going back to the fact that I did not do nearly the amount of work I did this year, they made the pick and I thought like somebody had hacked my stream or something. And I'm like, who is this guy? Like I had never even heard of him. I was like, he's got to play for a small school. And I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, Maryland. I'm like, really?
Hold on.
So I'm like, yeah, so I'm sitting there. It's like, I just basically, I tweeted the pick and nothing after that. I was like, I don't even know what to say at this point. So you know, here's what I'll say on that. Maybe they found a diamond in the rough. But historically speaking, when you're looking at, and I know, you know, everybody's kind of different with the consensus board, but historically speaking, when you take a guy that far out of range, that high in the draft, even in the fourth round, which is a pick they didn't, have going into the thing, it's usually not going to work out. So hopefully for his case, for his sake, it does. But I think when you're looking at a linebacker that was, I think, a 4-year starter, mm-hmm. and he wasn't on anybody's board, mm-hmm. is a draftable grade, that's kind of, I don't know, that feels like one of those you probably outsmarted yourself a little bit. Kind of like the when Ryan Pace took Joel E.A. Boone. Anyway.
Yeah. But he, he played special teams decently. I guess he never really got to be in a linebacker, but point taken. Although I will see your Joel E.A. Booney way. Man, it's been a while. And how about Nick Kwiatkowski? Now, he was a fourth round pick, wasn't he?
That is a good point. Yeah. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head. Because that was back when Oklahoma was still in the Big 12. I have to go back and look at that. I don't know where, because I don't know that the consensus board is really a thing, because I know this has been kind of a newer thing, but I would be curious to see what some of the draft analysts had him at. Because I don't know. I don't know if he was like an undrafted guy or if he was more of like a, fourth, fifth, sixth round. I honestly can't remember. That was a good point. Now you've given me homework once we get off this call for me to go look something up.
All right. Well, I'll give you even a little bit more hope. What about Jack Sanborn? Now, I know he wasn't exactly a star and his time was limited, it felt, once DJ Moore and Tremaine Edmonds were there. But they made something out of Jack Sanborn, undrafted.
Yeah, they did. Well, that's the funny thing about Dennis Allen. Like, Dennis Allen is one of the better defensive minds in the league, right? And you look at it, and it's like he took a guy in Demario Davis that really wasn't much of anything. He comes in New Orleans, he becomes an all-pro linebacker, right? And then the other side of the spectrum, you had a guy in Zach Bond who they drafted, they played out of position at defensive end, ultimately. He signs a 1-year, like, $3 million deal with the Eagles. And Vic Fangio moves him to an off-ball linebacker, and all of a sudden he's an all-pro in his first year. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, like, you start looking, like, Dennis Allen's great with defensive backs. I think that Zay Frazier pick is one of those, like, that has a potential to be really good down the line.
Yeah.
But his linebacker choices have definitely been interesting. I don't know if I'd say good or bad definitively one way or the other, but there's been some really good finds, and then there's been some pretty big misses in terms of how he's used guys.
Aaron, really appreciate you jumping on with us. Go save some dogs, for crying out loud. I appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. I've got, I think, 9 were in kitten season right now. So I've got a mom and 5 kittens and then another 3 kittens. And we just got rid of 2 more that finally got adopted. Yeah, we are in full swing, plus the foster dog and our dogs. So, yeah, it's crazy in here.
You're awesome, man. I appreciate that. And I will. Hopefully we can talk soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Aaron Lemme. Always love talking to him. Always great and unique insight from him.
It's a lot of animals.
It's a, yeah, kittens too. Yeah, man.
I got 2 cats and it's a lot.
I didn't know you were a 2 cat family now.
Well, yeah. So when I first met April, my fiance, she had 2 cats and they were siblings. And last year, we lost one of them.
I'm sorry.
And so last August, so the one anchovy, he died last March. And then in August, we got a new kitten. We just kind of stumbled into people that had a kitten that was like abandoned at a firehouse, like, or something like that. It was weird. So anyway, that's how we, so now we have 2 orange cats in the kitten. So
that's fantastic, man. Yeah, I got my cat, Dave the cat. And I tell you, I've always liked animals, and I grew up and we had cats growing up because, again, as Studs pointed out earlier, it was a house of men. It's my mom and then my 2 brothers and my dad. And my mom was like, we're not getting a dog because I'll be the one that ends up having to take care of the dog. And so the compromise was cat. So I grew up with cats. But now that this is the first time living alone in my life that I've had a pet. And my God, that's like this psychic change in my head in terms of just animals in general. Like I always say, like, I don't think it's ever going to happen where I would, like, go vegetarian or anything like that. But I got to tell you, man, like I'm a threat. Like the it's like a tornado warning. The conditions are favorable for me to go vegan or vegetarian just because this thing is like expanded to all animals and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, man, it's changed my, I don't know, like for people who have children, it changes your life. For those of us who don't have children, an animal can change one's life. When we come back, I actually want to talk about a few of the Bears play. We talked about Ruben Hippolyte, but I want to talk about the 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks of the Bears, and one that I am really excited about. So we will do that next. I'm Mark Grody on the
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
I would say my DB coach, Sam Big Fearless, and I think that's going to take, like, come with me everywhere I go, just being fearless. Don't worry about the next play. Just always worry about the play that's in front of you. Handle that first and then focus on the next play when it comes. But when that ball in the air, when you got to tackle, just be fearless. And that's just something that I done ingrained. So that's all I think about, fearless. And I just played it back. I would say that's one of my things, fearless.
That is Bears 5th-round cornerback, CB. Zay Frazier out of UTSA. That's right, Zay. It's spelled Z-A-H, so it looks like Za, but it is Zay Frazier, 6'3", a one-year starter at UTSA, did junior college before that, 6 interceptions last year, and he, as I said, 6'3", he's long. As he said at one point in time, quote, I'm tall as hell. And he said that in reference to him, I don't know if it was an interception that he had or just knocking a ball down. And he said something to the effect of, I don't know why the quarterback threw the ball. I'm tall as hell. And I'm like, okay, I like this guy. Like, he's a 5th-round pick. So I mean, it's always a crapshoot when you get into 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds. But there are reasons to like Zay Frazier with the body, the speed, the type, all of that kind of thing. Now, the Bears are pretty stacked right now at the cornerback position, obviously, with Jalen Johnson. By the way, that's not a bad comp size-wise. And not, Jalen's not that big, but I think Jalen's 6'2", I think. So, you know, you get those big-bodied guys, it's always good in this NFL. But, you know, you still have Tyreek Stevenson. You obviously have Terrell Smith, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use all of these guys. You have Kyler Gordon, who could be getting some play on the outside. So that's another position that we know is good. Went into it last year as maybe the most powerful or the strongest position on the Bears, and then lost a little bit of luster, the secondary did, because of Tyrique Stevenson, because of the concussion to Jaquan Brisker. You know, some of it just got a little bit out of whack, but it is going to be fascinating to see how Dennis Allen employs the secondary, how he uses Kyler Gordon, if Zay Frazier has some sort of shot. We're really going to find out about Tyrique Stevenson. I mean, they've said nice things about Tyrique Stevenson. They've done the whole "you've got a clean slate thing with us" deal, like that, as I suppose it should be. But what do they really think? What do they really think? And I think Zay Frazier could be very interesting. The other two guys, round six, you have Luke Newman from Michigan State, and don't expect him to be a starter anytime soon. If you see Luke Newman starting on the interior for the Chicago Bears at some point this season, something has gone horribly wrong. The Bears will have been playing a dangerous game because they have Drew Dolman at center. They have Joe Tooney at left guard. They have Jonah Jackson at right guard. But the beautiful part about Luke Newman is that he is your swing interior guy, that he can play any of those positions. He will work out at center, left guard, right guard. So you have a guy who can back up those positions, and we'll see if he is, you know, actually capable of doing that. And then in round seven, guy that we like to talk about, people like to say his name, I do too, Kyle Manunggay out of Rutgers. He's had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons and 5'8", 211, so he's huge. 5'8", 211. Damn. So maybe it works out as the guy that's just out there plowing. Maybe he's that guy, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Stand by.
Have you seen the highlights of him pass blocking?
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a nice thing to see.
And it's not like he's just blocking blitzing DBs or something like that. There's one out there that I saw on draft night day. I guess it was draft day when he was being picked.
Right.
But either way, the best one that I saw is he blocks a blitzing linebacker who's taller, like way bigger than him, and he just gets up in his chest and pancakes him. And the linebacker's running full speed, coming unblocked through the hole, and he just like lays him on his back. Like, it's awesome.
I mean, that is I feel like that's always with Khalil Herbert. Remember, he's here and like, can he block? No, he can't block.
No, he still can't.
Still can't block. You know, I guess they got the most out of Khalil Herbert. That was was he a sixth round pick? Khalil Herbert? I don't remember off the top of my head, but we'll check on that. But yeah, that was always the issue. It's like, he can run, he's got some burst. No, obviously he didn't have breakaway speed. Unfortunately, we saw Herbert get caught from
sixth
behind.
Round pick.
There it is. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, didn't have breakaway speed. Hands were meh. Couldn't pass block.
Yeah, he had some nice moments.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Like, he, again, for a sixth round pick, they definitely got the most out of him. So I know it's like fun to be excited about Kyle Manunggay, but I can't really expect much from him. But we'll see. I don't know, man. Maybe he's a...
I think that there's something there.
Okay.
And my take on Kyle Manunggay has been that I don't know what his ceiling is. His ceiling probably isn't high, but I think he's got a decent floor. Like, I think he's going to be a good NFL running back. I don't know how good, but I think he's going to be someone that is a representative to maybe even above average NFL running back.
Do you think that the Bears need to add a running back?
I wouldn't say no.
Wow. So you're the first person that I've heard on the microphones here it's not saying yes immediately to that. Well, you really
like
this guy.
I don't hate. Well, it's not just that I like Kyle Manunggay. For some reason, like, people are talking about DeAndre Swift like he's this terrible running back when he's not. He's a good running back. He was used horribly last year.
Yeah, we have to give him that. We have to give him that.
And you have to remember also the year before in Philly, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He was one of the I can't remember where he was at least top 10 in rushing in the NFL, I believe, that his last year in Philly. Now, granted, great offensive line, much different scheme. And they used him properly.
He's an adult offense. He can be a really valuable asset.
Yes. So I think that people are really down on him. And I understand, yes, he's not a big downhill guy. He's not a guy. He's not your goal line back. He's not a 3rd-and-1 go get it guy. That's more Roshon Johnson's game. But I don't like, as in an adult, as you said, in a real NFL offense, DeAndre Swift is an asset.
It's a fair point because last year, I'll raise my hand. A lot of us were kind of like, oh, yeah, raving about DeAndre Swift and what he could do in the offense and how he could be a friend for Caleb Williams. And I remember reporting out in OTAs and training camp, be like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a perfect outlet guy. You put DeAndre Swift in some space.
And that's exactly how he should be used.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'll just say this. If the Bears go into the season with their running back room as it currently is, we'll call it DeAndre Swift, Kyle Monungai, Roshon Johnson, and Travis Homer will probably never really he's a special teams guy.
He's very good at special teams.
He's your emergency running back.
Absolutely.
But if that's their running back room, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Interesting.
If they added to it, I'd be fine. Uh-huh. You know, if they bring in Nick Chubb, cool. See what he's got. If they bring in J.K. Dobbins, that's another name that's been floated out there, cool. But I guess higher on the Bears running back room than a lot of people. I quite frankly, I don't understand why people hate it so much.
Quite frankly, it's refreshing to hear a different view on the Bears running backs room.
Well, people are talking about it like it's this terrible running back room. Yeah, and I can't remember what show I was listening to the other day. I think it was the midday show. I think it was the Raheem and Harris show. It was. Definitely was. And they're like, oh, this is the worst running back room in the NFC North. And like, is it? I would tell you that, yes, the lead backs on the other teams, the lead backs are better. But is it really the worst in the NFC North? And they were talking about, like, oh, is this going to be one of the worst running back rooms in the NFL? Like, where do they rank in the NFL? Like, come on.
Here's why.
Come on. It really triggered me a little bit because I was like, really? I understand that the Bears running backs in general weren't that productive last year. It's because they had an idiot offensive coordinator and a poor offensive line. I don't believe the players are actually that bad.
Yeah. You know, the exact reason that we're going, and I'm guilty too, because I've just been on the air tonight saying that the Bears need a better running back. The reason is because we're all doing this. Okay, Detroit had Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. The Bears got to get their Jahmyr Gibbs and their David Montgomery. You know, it's like that is the way. And the Bears have said such things as well. I mean, Ben Johnson has been like, you're this guy for me, you know, and he has quoted different Detroit guys. So that's the reason. When we come back, I'm looking forward to this. We are going to talk to Mr. Basketball Illinois, Jackson Davis out of Warren Township, a sophomore. Wait till you hear some of his accomplishments. We're going to put him on the radio here in just a minute. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
What's up? I am Mark Grody here for just a short while longer, but don't go anywhere. I'm looking forward to this. We are about to talk to, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Basketball Illinois, the 2025 Gatorade Player of the Year, Jackson Davis, Mr. Basketball Illinois of Warren Township High School. Allow me to read some of his accomplishments before we bring him on. During his sophomore campaign, Jackson averaged 19.4 points per game, 6 assists, 4.4 rebounds, 2.8 steals this past season, while leading his Blue Devils, 27-11, to back-to-back Proviso West Holiday Tournament championships, back-to-back regional championships, back-to-back sectional championship, super sectional championship, and a second-place finish in the IHSA State Class 4A title. Jackson was the fastest to score 1,000 points at Warren Township High School. He is 2025 Mr. Basketball, a first for a sophomore, the 2025 Gatorade Player of the Year, first for a sophomore, and the News Gazette All-Star, or I should say All-State Player of the Year, first team, and the first to do this as a sophomore. We are pleased to welcome in, again, from Warren Township High School, he is Jackson Davis. Jackson, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing well. Congratulations on all your accomplishments. How in the heck did you do that as a sophomore? And how does it feel to kind of be heading into uncharted territory in terms of being this young and getting Mr. Basketball Illinois?
I mean, honestly, it feels good in the moment to do it as a sophomore. But, I mean, it just comes. I feel like it just came with the work I put in. And I know I just have lots of work to do to get to my goals still. So, but I feel like it's an amazing accomplishment to celebrate right now. I know I got to put in some more work.
Yeah, I mean, do you even have your driver's license?
Yeah, I did recently get it, like not too long ago, when I turned 16.
Okay. Oh, that's good, man. And you passed the test on your first try. I was nervous as hell the first time. I don't know how I passed it the first time I did it, man.
I was pretty nervous too, but you know, I got through it. I got the license.
That's a pretty good accomplishment as well. The only thing I'm seeing here, the only blemish here, and I put that in air quotes, Jackson, second place finish in the IHSA state class 4A. How motivated are you? Because you're just a sophomore. You got two more years of this stuff. How motivated are you to get that title?
I'm extremely motivated. I mean, I just want to win, you know, and there's only one Lake County team that has won state in Illinois. So, I mean, Lawrence come close three times, but, you know, I got two more years left to try to make it down.
Yeah.
And win it.
That's awesome, man. A couple other things here for you, too. I am seeing this, that I just listed all these accomplishments that you have. Check this out. Jackson has the following NCAA basketball offers already as a sophomore: Arizona State, DePaul, Eastern Illinois, Illinois, Indiana, Northwestern, and somehow Western Illinois. I only say that because Adam Studzinski, our producer, went to Western Illinois. Here's my question for you, Jackson. What can I do to put you at DePaul? What's it going to take?
I don't know, man. I don't know. To be honest. Just trying to keep my options open.
I got you. How does that feel, though? How does that feel to, as a sophomore, at the age of 16, to have offers already to play basketball? How do you, like, keep that all in perspective?
I mean, it's a wonderful feeling, but I just have to stay humble, of course. And, you know, it's a long way before I actually step into college, so I know I have to keep working on my body, keep getting stronger, because that's the main thing from high school to college is the physicality point. So I just know I keep working on my body and obviously stay in the gym. But, I mean, it feels good that college coaches are able to look at me and see potential in me playing for their school.
That's so cool, man. And then there are, I should mention this too, that the current schools that are recruiting Jackson are Marquette, Michigan State, Oklahoma, and Purdue. So, yeah, no, you're right. You got a lot of time to think about this stuff, but it's pretty cool to be getting all that attention. He is in the ESPN Top 60. Jackson is number 53, 4 stars right now. So let me ask you this last question for you. In the next 2 years, what are your goals in terms of, I mean, it doesn't seem like your game needs that much improvement at this point, but what are some of your goals over the next couple of years? I know you want to win, but what about individually in terms of getting to be the basketball player that you want to be once you do decide to go to DePaul?
Yeah. I want to obviously be a 5-star by the end of high school, you know, be in that area and hopefully be a McDonald's All-American and get, you know, invite to all the All-American games and stuff like that. That would be ideal. I mean, my dad always told me rankings doesn't really matter until your junior, senior year. And he's like, even then, it doesn't even matter at all. It's what you do on the court, really, in college. It's how you produce. It's just, you just got to produce at a high level all the time.
Your dad sounds like a wise man, and I was thinking about that. Like, I'm guessing you have really good family support and friend support because you're a star already, and that could be, I mean, that's a lot of attention. So how is your support system, your family? You just mentioned your dad, obviously.
My family, my support system, I mean, I they're the best. I mean, I can't ask for any more out of them. You know, I got uncles, aunts, grandparents, everything. They're all there for me. None of them are, you know, going to give me bad advice or pull me into the wrong direction. They just want to see the best out of me. You know, I got a brother, too. He just wants to see the best out of me, too. I love all of them forever.
Well, I hope you take the whole family, your friends, your aunts, your uncles, your grandmas, your grandpa. I hope you take them on a long ride, my friend, because, I think a lot of people listening are like, man, this guy's got it all. So I hope you get to those 5 stars, and I hope you make a great decision on where you go to school. Jackson Davis, Mr. Basketball Illinois from Warren Township High School, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff right there from Jackson Davis. Sophomore. Oh, my goodness. I actually covered a couple of Mr. Basketball Illinois because I covered Brian Cook. I think Brian Cook was he went to Lincoln High School. And that happened. One of my first radio jobs was in Lincoln, Illinois, so I did the play-by-play for Brian Cook's game and the Lincoln Railers. What a program. Shout out to Lincoln, Illinois for Brian Cook. I think Sergio McClain was a Mr. Basketball Illinois. Went to Peoria Manual. I covered those guys because I worked in Peoria as well. So was Frankie Williams? Frankie Williams might have been. Derek Rose? Yeah, but no, that's cool. That's cool, and I'm totally jealous. He just got
Derrick Rose was Mr. Basketball Illinois.
There, okay. Simeon was Sergio McClain and Cookie. Okay, you don't have time. That's all right.
I can look. I just
no. Actually, I have a better question for you because we only got a minute or two left. Because you and I were talking before the show. Studs and I are both. I'm not on the same level as he is, as I found out tonight, because as Studs said, he likes every single song ever by Incubus. I'm a late bloomer to Incubus, and I've been going to shows for the last 4 or 5 years, but he said he likes every single song by them, other than Incubus, if they do tour in Chicago. Is there a band this summer that you have to see, that you already have lined up? You got anything lined up, Studs?
So I'm actually... have had lined up for a while now seeing Coheed and Cambria when they're at Northerly Island in August.
They opened up for Incubus.
Well, yeah, now they're doing their own tour.
Okay.
Because so they just put out, so when they were with Incubus last year, they were about to put out an album, and then earlier this year the album came out. So now they're headlining. They headline too. You know, they don't do like arenas like Incubus will do. But they'll do a place like Northerly Island. I saw them at Aragon once. That's about the biggest they'll do.
Okay,
unless they're a supporting act.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed them. It was an awesome opening band that I got to hang out with Studs at that Allstate Arena at Incubus show. I've seen you
Bears.
At Bears. The only show that I must see. I don't know what I'll end up seeing this summer is. I will, ladies and gentlemen, I will see System of a Down at Soldier Field when they do make their way there. Yeah, that's right. I'm into nu metal. That's right. I will definitely go see those guys because they don't tour a lot. They don't put out a lot of stuff.
I didn't know they were still touring.
Exactly.
I would definitely see them.
Right? I mean, Surge. I mean, they will... Yeah, you got to see them because it feels like they're like Tool. Like, they don't tour a lot. They don't put out a lot of stuff. So, System, brah, it's going down. Thanks to everybody for listening. Texting this program. I appreciate you guys. You guys know that. I'll actually be back on tomorrow afternoon. I'll be filling in for Lawrence Holmes on the Spiegel and Holmes show. So I will be with Matt Spiegel starting at 2:00 tomorrow. Thanks to Adam Studzinski for producing this show well, like he does. He's also the executive producer of our podcast, the Take the North podcast. So I invite you to listen to that. We'll have some new episodes coming up Friday and Saturday, I do believe. Looking forward to that. Charles Davis will be one of our guests on that.
Actually, that episode is out now.
Oh, it is.
We released it this afternoon.
That's what I was trying to buy time to see. So he is up and running. And Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 joined us as well. So I think that episode will drop on Saturday. Thank you to our guests, Brett Boone, Baldy, Brian Baldinger came out, Aaron Lemming, and the guest that we just had on, Mr. Basketball Illinois, Jackson Davis. Thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Mark Grody. I'll talk to you later.
Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.